This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
We're going to be rediscovering the stories of women's society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
We are welcoming to our show Stephen Hawkins, the president of the Coalition for Public Safety. Stephen, it's great to have you on the show to chat about prison reform today. So good morning.
Thanks. Good morning, Sue.
Often when we hear about an issue like this, a lot of us default automatically to the perspective, Stephen, that, organizations like yours are bleeding hearts and they want people not to serve the sentences that they deserve, et cetera. So try to explain how you work with all kinds of groups in order to make this a thing.
Sure, Sue. So what is unique about the Coalition for Public Safety is that we are truly bipartisan and the largest bipartisan effort in the country to reform the justice system. We have progressive organizations, but we also have very conservative organizations like Americans for Tax Reform and others who've all come together, groups that frankly disagree on mostly everything else, but agree that the justice system in the United States is broken. And we need to make it more fair, balanced, and effective. And we think we can do that and still preserve public safety.
Okay. And one of the things that you want to do is to take a look at who is incarcerated and for what, and is there a better solution that serves society, the persons that are victimized, et cetera. So how are you looking at that?
So what we recognize first is that we have a lot of people in prison who are shouldn't really be there. You know, they're the low-level drug offenders, for example. We have people who are in prison who really have mental illness needs that have gone unaddressed. So part of what we like to say, Sue, is how do we separate in prison the people who we should legitimately have fear, you know, and fear for them being released too early, from those folks who we're simply mad at, you know, who really deserve some other alternative means. So, you know, we have in the federal system, just for example, half of the people there are low-level drug offenders. It's a very costly way to deal with someone's addiction. So we also know that people coming out of prison need to have effective jobs or else they are likely to return to prison. Right now, 95% of everybody who's incarcerated will eventually come home. And sadly, two-thirds of those folks end up going back to prison within 3 years. And one of the big drivers is not having real employment opportunities. So the project that we've been involved with in San Quentin, where they're actually teaching inmates how to computer code, they've designed our website. What is so exciting about this, Sue, is that we see inmates actually learning 21st century skills that hopefully then as they come out of prison will actually lead to jobs, better futures for them and their families, making them effective taxpaying citizens, and hopefully meaning that they will never go back to prison.
How do you convince employers to buy into what you're doing? And have you found partners for this, for some of the inmates who do leave San Quentin? And what is the incentive with the employer? How hard is it to sell this concept?
Sure. So right now, I mean, just to say a little bit more about the program and how it started, there was a venture capitalist, you know, a Silicon Valley guy. He goes into San Quentin, I think, to do like a pep talk to inmates, and he realizes that he's meeting some men there who he feels would have the chops to learn computer coding. So he sets up a program, and inmates cannot get on the internet like you or I, but he sets up sort of a closed system within the San Quentin training facility, and these inmates learn the same coding skills that they would have learned if they were in training out in Silicon Valley. And now, to your point, you know, opportunities for them to gain meaningful employment. We certainly are encouraging more employers to hire folks coming out of prison. We're encouraged that big industries like Coke Industries, Walmart, have taken away barriers that once existed to employment by not discriminating on employment applications. That's a start. So hopefully we will see tech startups. We'll see Microsoft and Google and others take a look at this kind of opportunity, because right now, Sue, there are more jobs for computer programmers than there are computer programmers graduating from programs every year. So there's a need, and hopefully we can see these kind of programs replicated around the country. And again, it's really giving inmates, you know, returning citizens, and they are citizens and people that have paid their debt to society, giving them a chance to gain some skill sets that will actually keep them out of prison.
Obviously, the factors of addiction and mental illness are something that you absolutely have to be honed in on with the folks that are incarcerated.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of modalities are you looking at in order to change the way that things have been handled in the past and find solutions to these issues to put people in the position to get back on their feet? I mean, there's no guarantee in life, as we all know, but are you looking more at ways that this can be done effectively?
Sure. So I'm encouraged that states across the country have been taking a look at their criminal justice systems, deciding that that effective programming, diversion programs to keep people from going to prison in the first place, the creation of what are called drug courts and mental health courts, that they can be more effective, because if you do not treat someone's addiction, you know, they can spend months in jail, they can spend years in prison, but it won't necessarily change things. And prisons are expensive. So what we're seeing is that states are recognizing, Sue, that, you know, collectively, states are spending $80 billion a year on incarceration, and that comes at the cost of education and other vital, services. So by creating effective programs, by states like Texas that have done this have now seen, a state as conservative as Texas, they've closed 5 prisons and may be closing more, because they've gotten smart on crime, as we call it. You can be tough on crime and you can be smart on crime at the same time.
What did they do in Texas to change what was happening, and how did they get these 5 prisons closed? What did they do?
Well, you know, some things almost are, you know, big and small. Certainly creating the kind of programming that diverted people who were not a threat to public safety but really needed drug treatment, mental health treatment, that was one step. They looked at the statutes. They had a statute for something like larceny, which was too low, you know, it was like $250, stealing someone's iPhone, you could end up with a felony conviction and a couple of years in prison. You know, some of these statutes, Sue, were written back in the 60s when $250 really meant something. And today, that I don't think anybody wants to see someone go to prison for pinching their iPhone. So what did Texas do? They raised that threshold to like $5,000. But little things like that could mean, you know, the difference between, you know, like 1,000 more people ending up behind bars, when I think most of us would say, look, that person needs probation. They need to pay the person back for the stolen iPhone, but we're not looking for that person to spend 2 years in prison. Not when prison costs $25,000 a year. So those kinds of practical things, Sue, and broader sort of looking at really understanding who was in prison and what the various needs were, is been the success in Texas, and hopefully we'll see more of that around the country. Pennsylvania, for example, is looking at some interesting legislation around clean slate, where if you've done your time, you know, not for all offenses, but for certain offenses, if you've done your time and have stayed out of trouble, how can your record be purged so that you have a better, you know, sort of leg up in terms of returning into society? So, you know, those and other sorts of efforts, I think we need to look at all of it if we're going to see our prison system begin to go back to numbers that I think, you know, we all want to see a prison system smaller and see those dollars spent in ways that are of more betterment to society.
You mentioned on your website that if there is a savings from reduced incarceration, the savings could be used in true public safety measures. What would you suggest as a true public safety measure to protect people in society from those who prey upon them?
Sure. So, you know, from the cost savings, and we've seen this in places like Texas, for example, they've taken some of their savings, you know, the hundreds of millions of dollars that they saved from not having to build prisons, and they said, well, what do we need? We need a range of things, from making sure that we have, effective drug treatment, mental health, fair systems for people who need to be diverted out. We can give more resources to probation and parole. You know, these folks, some of the parole officers who have incredible caseloads, which then creates part of the problem. You know, you need to have enough people who can help monitor and help people coming out of prison actually succeed. So Texas has put some money, more money into probation and parole. And you can send some resources over to law enforcement. You know, I don't think most, you know, police officers that I speak to are concerned right now about the opioid epidemic. You know, they spend a lot of their time responding to crises around opioid addiction. You know, they did not graduate from the academy to want to do that all day. And how we can utilize our police resources most effectively to actually spend their time, responding to violent crime and find other ways to actually help those who are drug addicted, in need of mental health services and so forth.
Stephen Hawkins, president of the Coalition for Public Safety, thank you for speaking out and offering ideas. It's just what we need to hear, and we hope in the future that everybody from all sides hears them out and works on this problem in a meaningful way. So thanks for doing what you do.
Thank you, Sue.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
We're going to be rediscovering the stories of women's society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett, available now wherever you get your podcasts.